Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Bretton Pitch Flea Circus. My name is Cliff.
Hello, and I'm John Fiddler from Pilo.
Okay, nice to meet you, John Fiddler. I've seen you in the court roundup.
I've been in there numerous times.
Are you in there for this stance that you've adopted here?
Well, yeah, this is my normal stance when I'm fiddling. I just like to fiddle with
the
things.
Criminal stance.
The criminals, yeah.
Although what I can say, because you've got your bare legs out, is you are a smooth criminal, so well done on that.
No, I'm not. I've got very hairy legs and manly legs, I might add as well.
Okay.
I don't shave my legs.
Also, is that not your leg that I can see?
This is me knee.
How are you?
Yeah, thanks. I'm okay. I'm all right. How are you?
I believe that you're suffering from a bit of chafing due to your new employment.
I'm suffering from an awful lot of chafing. I have to get specialised underpants.
I'm going to go out on a leap and presume you're talking about the bum chafing. Uh-huh.
No, I'm talking about the undercarriage chafing.
Oh, I mean, the perineum.
Like thighs.
The no man's land area.
Just underneath me balls, near me thighs. What tends to happen is me boxer shorts kind of roll up to teasers,
okay.
The tormentors.
Is that because
I'm walking?
Your pace?
It's probably because of me pace, me swift pace. That's what I would say. So that they roll up and they're causing all kinds of chafing. I was very worried when I sent you the message, I'd wrote chaffing.
I think it's the same, isn't it?
No.
Let's call
the
whole
say.
Thing off. I think that's the tune for that. I'm also suffering from chafing. It's quite hot here. I've been running around a bit. Not literally running around. I'll get onto that in a minute because I'm... what's the word?
Agony.
I'm in agony, yes. I'm not in agony, actually, but I'm definitely in discomfort.
Why? What could be happening, Paul?
Well, the chafing is uncomfortable, obviously. I'm chafing because it's hot and I've been getting the metro a couple of days. Too hot. So I am suffering from the medical condition we know as the chef's arse, which is quite uncomfortable. But the reason that I'm not active is because I went to get my balls checked out this week, Brett, and I thought, I'll do this as a bit of a public service announcement because I'm a good fella, you know, everybody should get their balls checked out and all of that. So I've been having a little bit of pain in what I can only describe as behind the balls.
Right.
I don't know how best to describe it. It's like above, it's inside, obviously, in the groin area. And like most fellas, it's been going on a good couple of months before I said anything. So,
okay.
Got to the point where actually I was in quite a bit of pain, and I had to confess to Jane that I felt like there might be something wrong in the testicular area.
Right, and what was the level of pain? Would you say 1 to 10?
You know what the pain is. I'll describe the pain to you. You will understand, as will all the other men out here. It's like the residual pain of being kicked in the balls. That's what the pain is.
That's not a nice pain, is it?
It's that feeling all the time. Just behind the right tecker. So.
And did Jane own up to kicking you in the balls when you were asleep?
When you're asleep, Paul, what I do is just press down on that area quite hard.
I get harder and harder as each night goes on.
And so do you. I thought this is one of those situations where normally I feel like I should say something now, but I won't.
Everybody knows shit like that, don't
I know, and everybody, you know, the balls, you say you can't leave it, you know, you should get checked out and all of that. So she said you should go to the doctors. And you know what? I felt like, I don't know whether everybody feels like this, but I felt like I was owning up to something wrong. Like I had like a kind of sick feeling in my stomach when I was about to tell her. Yeah. Felt very apprehensive about it. So she said, like, you just need to go to the doctors, Paul, like, in the morning, bring the doctor and go. I don't know why you've waited so long. So, as usual, good advice. And I was going right next to the doctors the next morning. So I booked myself in and I went to
Sometimes you need that, though. You need somebody to tell you that you need to go, don't you?
But I need Jane to tell me to do almost everything. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen.
Same with me and Lisa.
it wouldn't happen. Like, so I do need it, and ideally what would happen would have been she would have rang the doctors, but you know,
that didn't happen.
I sorted myself
out. Well, can you do it for us? That's what
I think. Like, normally that would happen. Have you rang it yet? I'd be like, no. Really, the reason is because I just thought you would do it because you know I won't do it, because of that situation. But anyway, I did it. So I thought, all right, I'll grab the bull by the horns and do it. So I went to the doctors and I saw a very sinister man called Dr. Vladimir. So basically, he's had a little feel around and he said, there's no problems there from touch. It could be that you've done your ligaments. So that's very common. You play football, might be that. But we'll send you for an ultrasound just in case. So I went for this ultrasound and the woman doing it, and I definitely didn't think it would be a woman, but it was a woman doing it. And she went, where is it that I'm doing the ultrasound then? I was like, surely you should have been briefed. You should have been briefed on this. Like, it shouldn't be me giving you the instructions.
Telling you, it's on me nether regions.
The penis and ball area. Can you just do the ultrasound down there?
Just the delegates.
So she was doing it. It was like being, remember when you had a cough at school? That's what I was doing. She was going, cough, cough, cough. And then she was saying, squeeze down, like you're having a big shit or whatever. Squeeze down, like you're having a big poo. So I was doing it for ages, like honestly, ages. And I was getting sore because she was prodding it, obviously, with the thing. And I was doing it over and over again. And I just went, what is it that you're looking for? And she went, have a look at this on the screen. I've got no idea why I was still doing it all of this time, because it was there, just to be seen. And she went, cough now and see what happens there. Can't you see that? She went, that's not meant to happen. So what it was like me skin, but not me skin, whatever's underneath your skin. And every time I coughed, just something massive came out and then went back in again. She went, you've got a hernia. I'll do the other side. Genuinely, you've got no pain on the other side. Like, don't worry about that. She went, I'll do it just in case. She went, yeah, you've got one on that side as well. So I've got two hernias that I need surgery for, apparently.
Did you get surgery as well? That's not good, is it?
I've never had surgery. I don't know, Jane. I think Jane thinks I should be scared. I'm not scared. But maybe I will be when he says I'm going to...
You sounded a little bit scared as he said that.
I burped, sorry. I sound scared.
I'm not scared.
Anyway, that's that. I might be a bit boring that, but I'm laid up. And anyway, go and check your balls.
I like to hear about your balls.
You might have a hernia. You might have the cancer. So it's worth checking out.
Well, hopefully it's just the hernia that you have.
I'd rather have a hernia.
So. Or the wobbly kidneys. Yeah, I heard a good name for a takeaway pizza today. John will like this, your friend.
Yeah.
A Scouse laptop. That's gonna like that one, wouldn't he? Yeah. I like that one. Hey, Cliff, have you got a favorite alcohol pop?
Probably Hooch.
Hooch.
Oh well, no, actually, Iron Brew Wicked. That was my favorite.
Oh, that's awful. That I didn't even like normal Iron Brew. What about the Two Dogs?
Two Dogs and Hooch were much of a muchness, weren't they? You just had to pick one.
You reckon? I was more Two Dog man. Is 2020 an alcohol pop?
No, it's a fortified wine. I don't think it counts. Is but it? I think the problem was we used to drink it like it was.
Yeah, I think that's definitely
what
the
was
problem,
the one with the stick sure. man, that scary thing, Metz, was it Metz?
Oh yeah, I was gonna say good. Crystal Metz,
yeah.
But it's not that.
It would be better if it was called Crystal Metz.
It would. Smirnoff Ice. Was that it?
Yeah, you can get that back in. No, Metz. There was a drink called Metz.
Metz. Mm-hmm. There was definitely a drink
that was
called Metz.
Was he called like the Netherman or something like that in the advert?
Yeah, Sugarman or something like
Sugarman.
That.
Sugarman. Yeah, I remember drinking that New Year's mm-hmm. Eve, let's say 1990. Let's say it was 2000, 2001, New Year's Eve, Shields.
So,
the Sportsman's
so favorite then? Oh, I love the Sportsman.
Maury used to DJ up a height.
Yeah. Remember when we got wrong off some lasses for wearing the same shirt, but just a different color?
Yeah.
In the Sportsman's Arms.
What do they want us to do? I don't understand.
I mean, what would he shop at the Officers Club? I mean,
there's only about four items.
Exactly. It's only two shirts we can pick from. At least we went from different colours.
I know. We could have been for the same ones, couldn't we? Anyway. Have
you
got any you point go. Of view, or should we get Davey on?
No. I've got... remember before when you were an Agony Ant? Well,
yes.
We're back with that. But... before that, would you like to hear the real Deirdre? Would you like to hear from her?
Okay.
Here she is.
Well, really, anyone who's involved with this sort of issue, maybe you've had a son or a daughter or even a parent who's gone missing, or perhaps a fat friend or another family member walked out and you're wondering how to get in touch. Any way we can help, we're here. So it could be that you would like to get in touch because you're the one who walked out and you're wondering how to make contact.
There she is.
What do you think of that? That sounds like nonsense.
It does sound like nonsense.
If somebody's left your life voluntarily, I can help track them down for you. I don't think that's a Deirdre service. Normally, it's like there's a lass at work that fancies us, but I've got a girlfriend, but she keeps bending over. And I can see.
Well, don't do your
Deirdre
bit before we started, but you missed the funny bit anyway. I'll have to listen back to that because you did miss it. Anyway, here is.
I missed the funny bit.
Yeah, but there you go. You can listen back to it. Do you know what I mean? So here's your dear Deirdre.
Okay.
Right? This is it. I've gone off sex since the birth of my son, but my partner can't get enough. The only way I can get in the mood is by thinking about the footballer Andy Carroll. I'm 46, engaged, and have a baby boy. I never want to have sex anymore, but I found that it works if I think about Andy and his ponytail. I've never met him, but I can't stop having sexy dreams about him, and I'm worried it will affect how I feel about my fiancé. How can I get this Geordie man out my head? What did you say to that?
Where's she from, this woman?
I've got... Well, who says it's a woman?
Because she just had a baby.
No, they've had a baby, collectively.
Sorry. Okay. I think, honestly, Brett, this is often my advice, and it can apply to many different scenarios.
Yes.
Well, I've given many people these words of wisdom. If you're feeling like that...
Yes, guru.
Why don't you just get an Andy Carroll face mask and put it on your lover? Then it leaves the bedroom, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
and
like,
then you...
Yeah, I can't even eat my breakfast without you having your Andy Carroll mask on. Then I think it's a problem. But if it's in the bedroom, right. what harm is it doing?
It's doing no harm. Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. What great advice that is from you, Mr. Clifford. And why don't we get the writer of that letter on... right now.
Okay, let's do it. Here
he is.
Sideways again.
He's sideways, Davey.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, Davey.
Are you
going
right?
to attempt
to turn on the side. Around?
User on the side.
No, you're on the side.
Oh, fuck off. Yeah,
you
turn around.
Big bang.
I'm not
That's not.
Right, all right, there we go.
Okay. Hello, Ed. Hello, right. How are you doing, Davey?
I'm all right, aye. I'll be better after this little beauty.
Oh, what you got there? The Elvis juice? Oh,
I'm on the posh stuff. No, it's a new one called the Brewdog Clockwork Tangerine Session IPA.
Very nice. I have sampled it. I like it. Hope you enjoy
it. I've never had this one, so I'll tell you what it's like in a minute.
What else could we take the piss out of you for, Davey?
Well, you could probably see the new St. James's Park paint behind. A few free to fire, a few arrows okay. over.
Yeah, have you got any got any footballers on there?
Well, I've got this one. Tribute your footballers when Newcastle had decent players. And there's quite a lot on there. So maybe we'll have a quiz sometime on another show.
Yeah, we could do that. Is it all the famous number nines?
All the famous number nines, yes. We're very there's many of them, as you know.
I know. Well, it's such a hallowed number.
Is Mirandinha on there?
But thanks for having us on, lads.
That's all right. Oh, no, so this week, we're going to talk about the 2005 film Wolf Creek, an Australian horror. I guess it's a horror. I've got one question for you, Davey. You told me that I can't bear to watch this again. And for the life of us, I can't think why, because it's not scary in the slightest.
You know what? Our last sister was, I'm doing Wolf Creek for the lads podcast. She went, you're fucking joking. I went, I remember we said we'd never watch that again. She said, I know, I'm not looking forward to it. Like, and well, I watched it, and I have to say, I don't know. Maybe we've just all toughened up over the last 15, 16 years, the way the world is, but it wasn't scary it wasn't as horrible. Yeah. I've seen a lot worse, but that way.
It wasn't. It's not nice. It's not a nice film, that's for sure. But I was expecting, it's going to be some real torture or, you know, it's got the first bit, the build up to it, I really like because it takes its time to get in. So it's building that suspense. But then I was like, oh, I think they get away quite quickly, like after he captures them. I think that's the thing. But anyway, we'll get into that. Brett, what did you think?
Yes.
I'd never seen this before. You had?
Yeah, I'd seen it before when it first came out, I guess I saw it. I think it was like the start of the torture porn sort of stuff, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. And I think it shocked a lot of people when it came out, like Roger Ebert and people like that, that knobhead of a reviewer who gave it like 0 stars and walked out of the cinema or whatever. But like, it's not my favorite type of horror. I love horror. Torture porn probably be at the bottom of the list with like Hostel and stuff like that, you know what I mean? But this wasn't anything like that.
No,
I was expecting, much like you, like I'm gonna be like grossed out by this or whatever, and I wasn't at all. It was pretty tame. A couple of fingers chopped off. And that's about it,
man. I think today's standards, it definitely was tamer than when I watched it when it first came out. And I remember just sitting there, and for me, it's more that feeling of dread. And, you know, like three happy, pretty people traveling, getting away from home for the first time and falling into the hands of, well, I'm sure we're going to be talking about it, one fucking horrible bastard.
Dead's Club from Neighbours, that's what he reminded me of. No, he's Mick. Good him, though, isn't he? Mick Taylor, John Jarrett.
Really
good, actually.
I thought...
he's good.
I did like the beginning. So, like you say, it's three young kids on a bit of a road trip going into the... It's not the outback, but they're going into, like, rural Australia. And along the way, they're encountering some increasing oddballs as they get further and further into this no man's land, because they're going to see Wolf Creek, which is a crater caused by an asteroid that supposedly there's some spooky goings on in the area. So they're going to check it out, smoke some weed, get stoned and experience whatever might happen. The film's an hour and a half long, and the first 40 minutes are all of that build-up. Just before they get there, they stop off in a bit of a diner place, and then they meet these guys and get away, and then these fellas are giving them a little look as they leave in their car, and you think, all right, they're going to come back. They're going to do something nasty to them. So you're waiting for that, which I think is a nice thing. That, like you say, it's a MacGuffin. It's not really what goes on, but I do think at least there's something a bit clever going on there. What do you think of the actors up to this point? Because we've got about 40 minutes of just watching these three kids. But Davey, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I don't have as in-depth of views as you two experts. You know, I watch films, I love them or I don't love them and never see a good actor or an actress and I praise them for it. It depends on the type of film, I think, when I'm in that mood, when I'm going away thinking, was that good acting or not? Because, of course, I can forgive that kind of genre for maybe the odd little bit dodgy acting. But I have to say, I actually thought they were all really good. It was... they were given that natural feel that obviously I think also probably started with Blair Witch, although it wasn't that type of film, but it kind of gave you that feel where it was all quite natural, and when they were looking at the camera, they weren't being filmed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like handheld the way that it's shot, isn't it? There's only a couple of still shots, like the moon and the stars, and which are amazing, I think.
Yeah,
that those shots of like the outback and stuff where they're looking at the stars, but the rest of it's very handheld.
It's very naturalistic, isn't it? It's very naturalistic. Yeah. You feel like you're on the journey with them, and then also,
but I thought they were good. I thought the lad in particular who had the bigger part, I think, at the start anyway.
Yes,
until obviously
sure,
kicked off. I thought he was brilliant. You know, he just came across very natural.
Yeah. I think you get
his pants were far too low.
They were too wide. I think I agree. I think he's good, and you know, he had that. He had the feeling of like what me or you would be like if we were on that road trip with those girls at that time of your life.
And, just and less muscles. Kind of
less muscles than you, obviously, Brett. You know.
See, Brett, you're looking them biceps are looking quite sharp, mate.
Well, all you know why, don't you?
I you know why.
He's delivering letters for a living now.
I'm carrying post, man.
Well, it must be heavy. That's all
I fucking is, I tell you. Fucking is.
Give me the.
Stop ordering stuff, people, will you?
I'll take the parcels today. I think he's good. I do agree with you there. And I think what's nice is that you've got that very naturalistic, like the kind of handheld camera where you feel like you're in it. And then, like you say, Brett, you've got these kind of, you cut away to these lovely, really wide, landscapey sunrise and sunset shots and the stars and all of this. And the bit of the crater when you see the crater. And I think what you also get is that puts you in their mind where you're seeing that. Like, you're not just seeing it as a viewer, you're seeing it from their point of view because the way it's shot kind of draws you in like that as well. Mm-hmm. Adds a little bit more. So I think all that's great. And then it all goes very wrong.
It does.
Yeah.
I think the difficulty of this film, watching it back, is you've seen so many things, torture porn things, like I mentioned before, like Hostel or whatever. I think the best ones probably Saw, because there's the twists and stuff like that in there. But like it's a difficult thing to go back to 2005. And if this was one of the first, because it was, what you felt like then watching it, to what you feel like now,
I
know
agree.
What I mean? It's a long time, isn't it?
It's just the fact that you've seen it so many times now, and as that genre progresses, it gets worse and worse and worse. So we're watching it now going, well, it wasn't even that bad. But actually, it is bad. It's not very nice, but we've just got used to it because somebody's gone, oh, they chopped a couple of fingers off. Well, we'll chop their fucking cock off next time.
People, like, people, you know, walked out the cinema. I mean, film reviewers and stuff like that walked out of the cinema when they were watching it because they felt it was just exploitation.
It's hard to get back into that now, isn't it? But I did think it was uncomfortable because you know the genre, you know what's happening. That's the thing with these films. You know what's coming. The car breaks down.
You're right. Yeah. Well, I don't know, because I can remember when I was watching it, I think about the 15-year gap in between me watching the first time round. Mm-hmm. And I was sat watching it here in the dark in my little office.
Terrible,
and I was just watching it on my PC. And I had the shivers going down my spine before it started. And then as it started, I was like, oh, this isn't as scary as I thought at first was. I must have been right. Soft shite in 2005. but I've had two kids since, you see. But I was thinking, what was the moment, though, that filled us with dread? And I know exactly what it was. And it was when, let's just say you didn't know anything about the film, which I didn't the first time I watched it. And you, Mick, when they were sitting around that bonfire,
Yeah, and it was when, I know what you're going to say.
When the lad sort of was being a little bit, he was being a little bit sarcastic. Yeah. Fair dinkum, he said. He went, yeah, fair dinkum. And then he said something else, and it that lingering look that yeah. Mick had on his eyes from the side. And I just thought, he's a horrible bastard. It was brilliant. I thought it was brilliant with the film. The film gave you that really horrible, uncomfortable feeling. We've all been seen a sight or in a pub or amongst your mates, and one of your mates goes a bit psychopathic, and you're like, shit, I don't want to look them in the eyes. And it was that moment, and I thought it was brilliant.
I agree. I agree. That's the turning point and the best bit of the film, I think, for me.
I agree completely. I've wrote it down. That's the best bit.
Well done.
he's jovial, isn't he? I mean, I said he was like a neighbor's character almost. Or they keep referring to him as like Crocodile Dundee and take the piss out.
That's what he says at that point. He says, this is a nice.
And he suddenly switches, doesn't he? It's not like a switch, like he's gone nuts. It's just a look.
Yeah. No, he just looks at him and it lingers and it goes back to the guy's face and you can see him thinking.
He's uncomfortable. it lasts for ages, doesn't it?
It goes back about three times, I think, and this guy just doesn't even blink or doesn't look like he's blinking. He's just giving them this look as if you think, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, you know that this guy, he seems too nice. He's going to help them. You assume because you know the kind of film you're watching for the first time or not. You know,
and it just got more and more uncomfortable.
It did. And the lasses are like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, we're already scared. But he seems to be all right. So let's not make him fucking hate us because we already were worried that he was going to be. But it looks like we've got away with it almost.
It's funny how, like, good actors, because I think this guy is a good actor.
I think he's great.
Australia, he's a massive star and stuff, isn't he? He's a massive star in Australia. But it's funny how just a look in a film, I mean, script writers and stuff like that would be writing loads of shit down and stuff like that. Maybe he just put that in, do you know what I mean?
You wouldn't know what he would look like, right?
A bit in Goodfellas when Robert De Niro just kind of, there's a lingering shot on Robert De Niro and stuff like that. And when he's thinking about killing somebody and like, it's really long on his face. Good actors can do that just by a look, can't they?
It probably says like, like try and intimidate them. And then the actor's got to like work out what that means or you doing it might be different to him doing it or whatever. So this guy nails it. Mm-hmm. Like it couldn't be more uncomfortable watching that bit. I totally agree, Davey. I think it's great. And then from then, you're just like, okay, from this bit, now you know actually he has got the capacity to, something's not right here. Mm-hmm. Your initial instincts were right. And this is where, you know, they all of a sudden they wake up and they're not in the back of the car where they went to sleep.
No. Mm-hmm. So the juice, the water, or whatever he gives him, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And that poor lass, so you see, it's the poor lass, isn't it, who she wakes up, obviously, and she's tied up, and she starts to dawn, and she hears her friend screaming after she escapes, and that's really when it's, you know, you realise exactly what is happening here. The guy's fucking horrible bastard who just wants to murder and rape them all. And really, that was his full intention. And it looks like that's what he's done to a lot of people as well.
Yeah, I think that's a good bit, I think, is, you know, the bit that's unsaid or unseen. They're in what looks like a horrible situation. It's a little bit, and I haven't seen it, so this is a leap of faith, but it's like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre kind of situation.
Yeah,
where
very much like that at the start.
They're looking at what's this stuff on the floor. There's blood everywhere. Is that bones over there? Or what? Or there's chains and stuff flying around and all of that. And she's woken up, not knowing where she is, manages to get free, and is like basically trying to work out where she is and should she escape? What the fuck's going on here? And then, like you say, she hears a mate and she spies what's going on. And again, that's a horrible moment when you hear that, because you hear the screams, right? So you automatically think something. And this is like, we've said it before, but I think it's one of those things with like, mustn't be very nice watching these films if you're a woman, right? Like, it must be awful.
But you know, like at the start when you sort of said, I don't understand why you were scared, it wasn't scary sort of thing. I think really what it is after thinking about it afterwards, why was I so affected all them years ago? And I know what it was now. And again, remember, this is before like social media and everything took off. For me, it's more the shock factor around that this could happen. It starts off saying that this is a based on true story. Yeah. It's actually based on a completely different story. I've read into that. However, but you know, it is based on it.
And Ivan Milat, isn't it?
So it's that whole thought process of God, this probably happens. Is, or there'll probably be people in the outback, or wherever in the world who do that. The other thing is you have real empathy for the victims. Like, they all seem to be really canny, lovely people.
Yeah.
And then when you see this happening, your heart aches.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's realistic. It is, because it spends so much time, 40 minutes or whatever. Like,
it's half the film, like, with nothing happening.
With
like
the people, do you know what I mean? And they're not annoying. I mean, the worst thing about these type of films is if the people that you're supposed to sympathize with are just tits. And these people
One's like the guys are wisecracking.
I'm saying
in a lot of these films, they portray one of the lasses will be a slut. I'm doing the air fucking things there. The lad will be like a wisecracker who he's got it coming.
But
one of the
lasses will be stuck up.
But these are just three normal people, and I think you're right. Spending 40 minutes with these nice people on a nice road trip, hoping they get to see this thing, smoke some weed and fucking cop off with each other. You're like, yeah, nice one. That's quite nice.
Mm-hmm.
Good on you.
Because like Davey said, based on a serial killer in Australia called Ivan Milat.
Okay, I didn't know any of this.
What he did was there was obviously backpacking's a big thing in Australia. That the guy I was with today, he's said, I took a year off work and I went New Zealand and Australia or whatever, just backpacking, staying in Borstals and stuff like that. And Ivan Milat.
Borstals?
Borstals, not Borstals. Well, he could have wanted. it would be more punishment to be this. Just like hostels or whatever. So that's what it's based on. This guy who would abduct them because they would just be out on the road or whatever. And do you know what I mean? Yeah. They wouldn't be ringing their family.
You know what, Davey? I feel harsh now saying that because I did watch you thinking. The main point was you said I never want to see this film again. And I watched it and I was thinking, really? It's like it's unpleasant, but I can't imagine it being the worst thing you've ever seen. But you know what? Thinking about for me. Now I'm 40, I've got a kid, got a wife, we're settled. I'm not going backpacking anytime soon across America. But maybe when Pearl's 18 and she wants to go and have a trip away, all of a sudden I'll watch a film like this and I'll be like, fucking hell. And I will be terrified. Or I guess when you watched it 15 years ago, you know, it was only a good 20 years since you would have been in that situation.
Exactly. But this is the thing, it's that. You know, when you watch a film, say for some of my favorite films are like Halloween, for example, and this one I obsessed over when I was younger, and it was genuinely scary and well acted and a great story. And we all know it's famous, and there've been many spin-offs since, not as good, obviously. But I think it's them ones. There's all I find them scary. I watch them, and it's like hoo-hee, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas this type of film, I just feel like almost a bit depressed watching it because. As much as I enjoyed it, it's the realism, and it's a little bit like Blair Witch.
Yeah.
It's all filmed on a hand cam. It's supposed to be real. These kids, innocent, likable, blah blah blah, and all of a sudden these things happen. And it's that type of horror film I think that affects me the most, simply because it's based on a realistic-ish situation. Do you know what I mean? With real people in it. Does that make sense?
Totally agree. I feel the same. I don't like, the Blair Witch. People, imagine showing somebody who's like 25 or something the Blair Witch and they haven't seen it, but they've watched all of the Conjuring and Paranormal Activity and all of that kind of shit. They'll probably watch the Blair Witch and be like, well, it's not even as scary as an episode of American Horror Story. But I still get chills watching it now. I've never watched that again, Davey, so don't regret that. I've never watched that again. I still get chills thinking about the end of that film I can't deal with it.
Well, I watched it with Lennon. I watched it with my son about 2 years ago or whatever. And I said, did you think it was scary? And no. It was because it was new. It was something different. You'd never seen it before.
Yeah, and the whole
do you know
thing
what I mean? Similar
good,
to
right?
this.
The whole thing was to set up the website, and it was meant to be real, and there was news reports and all that kind of stuff. It was the first time any of that had really happened, wasn't it?
Yes.
And they did it really well. So, but yeah, go on, Davey.
So what I was going to say, Paul, was obviously just going back to Wolf Creek, and when she was peeped through the window and she saw everything going on, and she eventually, you know, got in and took his ear off with the gun. Sorry if I'm jumping the gun a bit here.
That's all right.
But it's that moment you see in horror films where you just, when she's like sort of hitting him on the chest with the gun, fucking kill him, kill him.
You only shot his ear off.
Then you hit them on the chest, fucking killing, and oh, and I can feel myself shouting out the telly, you know. And,
I think that's part of it. Brett probably can answer this better than me, but like, they must do that on purpose, because they know you get frustrated at that point because you've seen so many films where they just walk out and they're like, well, that's him.
Yeah.
He's had a slight brush with death there, so that we'll just leave him on his own while we have a chat outside for 10 minutes. And it must be one of those things that the makers must know that everybody watching it is going, just either fucking get out of there now very quickly or finish that off. And you're just sitting there frustrated. It's a little bit like, for me, watching the Crystal Maze when the clock's running down. That's the feeling.
It happened with Michael Myers in Halloween as well, didn't it? It's like
all the time.
He thought he was dead and then looked behind the city and he was gone again, you know. So it's I think it's an old trick, but I thought in this type of film it's more realistic because of the realism, the reality factor of it all, that this actually could happen and probably does.
Yeah, totally agree.
I mean, of course, it involves you in the film, doesn't it? You're involved in the film, you're emotionally involved in it. If you're shouting out the television, it drags you in, it pulls you in, doesn't it? The danger of it is, with later Halloween films and later slasher films and stuff like that, is that they overdo it and you think, oh, fuck this, I'm not going to... Do you know what I mean? I'm sick of this shit.
You don't become involved in it anymore.
If they do it, you get removed. So the trick is to do it once and then not do it again. But, like, you know, the later sort of sequels to Halloween and stuff like that do it over and over again.
I
think it's a brilliant point. And I think now, looking back now, is probably where you appreciate Wolf Creek more now, because... I think the shock factor these days comes more from the amount of gore, the amount of sex, the amount of... Whereas that, although it was a pretty... I thought it was a pretty good horror film. If you look back now, the gore factor isn't that much. It isn't that bad.
No, it's not. You're right.
Well, no, so it obviously did... it obviously did it because it was genuinely scary rather than just showing you stuff that was gruesome or whatever. So, we're a bit like
which is the failing from later torture porn stuff, isn't it? Because that's all it was about.
Just how can we make it more horrendous? Which I mean, it's not very nice, is it? Like, it's just not good to do that.
How much fake blood can we get in?
Yeah, exactly. So what happens after that? She finds the lass and she shoots the guy in the ear. They get out. They ram him with a car, and then they don't really escape. So he appears again, doesn't he?
Well, there's a couple of clever bits, isn't it? Because they push the truck that they stole over the creek or whatever, don't they? And I'm going, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Just drive away, man.
Yes,
you know
what exactly. I mean?
Another bit, but it's not like you've shot the guy and, you know, he's waking up. Do you know what I mean? You should bash him in the head. It's a different way of doing it when they're pushing the car over the creek and then they're like hiding on the edge of the creek or whatever.
Yeah.
That buys them a little bit of time, doesn't it, to get back into the killer's lair and have a little look around. And obviously it's awful.
It is. Well, you're right. And again, it's another one of those moments of why did you do that? Why didn't you keep driving? But again, you probably the film would have ended very quickly if they'd just driven off into the sunset at that point.
They still have one person left, don't they?
Yes.
Whoever you kind of forget about, almost.
Yeah, because the fella's disappeared.
With all this
stuff
going on. Yeah.
Yes.
Where is he?
Yes.
So he's still there.
This is the thing, you don't really hear much about that, do you, either, until the end. Are you talking about the other lad? The lad?
Yes, the other lad,
You don't really find... He, after playing such a prominent part in the first half of the film, he kind of disappears. You don't really know what's happened. Then he appeared briefly at the end. You never really hear him speak again after that, apart from his scream, and that's it. Which he's I thought was a little bit odd. A little bit odd.
Yeah. He's kind of crucified, isn't he? He's got him crucified up against the, like, a plank of wood or what have you.
Yes.
Obviously, he eventually escapes, and that's where it links into the Ivan Milat thing, that he's gone and reported to the police. They think it's him that's done it or whatever, and he gets off with it, but they don't find the killer in the end, do they? He's free to kidnap more unfortunate people in the outback.
They could just look at his house.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He's going to go back to his house, which is horrendous. So they could, the police could just be like, just wait there for him and get him. It's horrible.
But yeah, I don't know. It's like this thing at the end where it says that was so remote, they did searches and stuff like that. No, but they couldn't find anything.
I know.
Yeah.
So like you said, Divya, it probably is that factor where you're like, oh shit. So it does happen. It is so remote. And maybe that's another thing in the northeast of England where there's nowhere massively remote. I mean, there's still bad stuff happens, but it's not like
you could get lost in Rothbury.
Yeah,
you could get lost in Rothbury. Not again. Not for the first time.
I've been lost in Sunderland a few times. I tell you, I never want to get lost in Sunderland, but I've actually been lost there a few times.
I suppose that's why, like, films like this work in America and Australia. Because there's so much vast space where people could get lost in or hide in and create little things like this that nobody ever really knows about. And that's why when you watch these films where there's this kind of setup going on, they really work at setting those places. And you know what? Yeah. I'm going to say probably South Africa as well would work.
Do you think it's a difficult thing for us to comprehend, the massive space or whatever?
I think it is.
In Australia and America, do you know what I mean? Because we live in England. You know, we're surrounded by water, just an island or whatever.
I think it is a bit. I think if you've been backpacking in America or any of these places or traveling, you probably understand it. But for those of us who haven't or aren't from there and haven't done those kind of trips, it's a bit like that one we watched with the spoof documentary with the lass who went to that what was it called, Lake Mungo. That one. Mm-hmm. It's a bit like that, isn't it? Like we don't know that kind of place, but. It was
I think that's why. I think that's why it works. I think for me it works for that because you know how sort of desolate areas of Australia and outback can be. And whatever, what else makes it more as powerful as well is the guy kind of explains his previous job where he used to kind of track animals and kill them.
Yeah, that's right.
So
right.
Not only is this guy experienced in the outback, experienced hunter, he's an experienced killer as well. And he'll no doubt be able to survive, you know, in the wild for a bit as well. Whereas he's probably thinking, no matter how far you run, I'll track you down eventually.
Yeah.
You know, and there's not many people drive through here.
That bit by the campfire where they go, you don't really kill kangaroos, do you? He's like, yeah, well, the roos are just a nuisance to the people around here. I'm doing everyone a favor by getting rid of them. Same with tourists.
But there's nobody there.
Yeah.
And they're like, ha ha.
He's got no emotion when he's killing. And obviously that was never more powerful than, I suppose, the scene where, she does go back she tries to steal the car and he's in the back.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm going to have to do an old trick, make sure you don't run away again. And we see him cripple up. And, and then the last one where he just basically he shoots. He's had enough of this. Now he's just going to fucking shoot up.
I think the good thing about it is he's nice and jovial at the start when you meet him. He's all willing to help and stuff like that. And just like Davey says, that look
is
that look where he's,
and that changes everything. It's been very quick that we've had a rapid discussion of that, haven't we? So, Davey, thank you so much for your time, mate. It's a pleasure to have you back on. We'll have you back on again. We'll talk about Morrissey or some shit like that.
Well, it's been great to be back, and honestly, thanks for inviting us back, lads. It's always a pleasure, and keep up the great work, because I think how much I love you. I think you're absolutely brilliant, best podcast out there by far, and I mean that.
Cheers, Davey. You're
thanks,
a
man. You
take
are
care,
indeed.
Boys.
Cheers.
See you later, man. Ta-ra.
See you later.
See you later, Davey, mate.
Well, thank you to Davey for coming on. It's always great to see you, mate, and good discussion on a film. I feel quite bad that as Brett said, I poo-pooed your feelings about it. at the beginning, but I feel like we had a better discussion about the film than I thought it was worth at first. But by the end of it, mm-hmm. I realised actually what I've watched is quite a good film, and it was just me mindset.
And I'm terribly wrong.
And what I'm trying to say is, Davey, I'm sorry, I was wrong.
Davey is a lovely guy. Yeah, and he's welcome back anytime.
Absolutely brilliant, like really nice fella, and it's good to have him on.
Yes.
So, Brett, would you like a quiz?
Oh, who has devised this quiz?
Okay, last time we said anybody. Send some quizzes in, send some questions in if you'd like us to read them out. And my dad sent us a quiz, and I think he sent you one as well. So we both had an option. Thank you, Dad.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian. I shall be coming to see you soon, my postman's outfit.
Yes.
I've still got to do that. I haven't forgot about that.
Yeah. My mum was very proud of you as well. So go and see
them
both.
Yes. Well, you know, I love them both. That's great.
Mm-hmm. So they're both very excited about that. So my dad sent you a quiz that I think you'll get no questions right on. So here we go. Send in this quiz because you've been to some of these places, ancient and historic sites and places. Where are they? And then at the end he says, nearly all stone circles, Paul, probably built by aliens. And I think I spelt them all correct. So let's go.
Right.
So I'm going to give you the name of an ancient or historic site that's probably a stone circle and may have been built by aliens. And you need to tell me where they are in the country. And I'm, from the look of it, almost...
Is it just England? Because I only know one.
England, it's a mixture, to be fair. It's a mixed bag. Some of them are, some of the answers are a country. Some of them are, most of them are a county. And a couple of them are like towns, I think. So,
okay.
Number one, Woodhenge. Oh, you've heard of Woodhenge, haven't you?
I've heard of, I was expecting Stonehenge.
Well, this is the more flammable nice sister.
Well, because it's Woodhenge, I'll go for. I'll go for the county. I'll go for Norfolk because they like burning the Wigger Men, don't they?
Yeah, it's not Norfolk. It's Wiltshire, the home of Swindon.
Goodness. Yeah, the home of illegal transfer dealings.
Yeah. Still going on now.
Still going on now.
30 years later.
Aussie Odd Dealers isn't even there, man.
Nobody's Lee Power.
Lee Powers in the dodgy transfer deal.
And he's like, it's a total mess. Anyway.
One of the greatest championship manager players.
Yeah, but also he played about 5 times for Sunderland. So
yeah, on loan, And I expect them to be brilliant because it was at the same time of the championship manager game.
Let's move on to number 2. I don't know if there's any link between Lee Power and this place. The Ring of Brodgar. Sounds very Tolkien-esque, doesn't it?
It certainly does. So I think I'll guess a country with this one from what you've said, and I would probably go Denmark.
No, the countries, it's all the UK.
You didn't say that at the start.
No, but I'm just
Brian,
I'm telling
he's
you now,
up
so
your quiz.
I realize
he's fucked up your quiz.
It's all the answers are all over the place, man.
Are you blaming your dad?
No, but I don't think...
You always do this.
Oh, I wonder whether he wrote the quiz. I was trying to give you a little bit of advice.
Right, I'll go Scotland then.
Yes, it is Scotland, but the answer isn't Scotland. The answer is a place.
The answer is a place. An
isle?
An isle. Shetty?
Maybe where the Laird... Is it's Orkney. It's Orkney.
It's Orkney.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Here's another one for you. And beware, 4 of them are from the same place, and it's this place. This one is called Men An Toll.
Men An Toll. Okay.
It's like how you say it. Men An Toll.
And they're all from the same place.
Well, there's 4 answers out of these 10 that are from this place. We haven't had it yet.
I would say it's a bit of a guess, but I would say Somerset.
Oh, it's Cornwall. You're in the right area.
Oh my goodness. The right area. I was nearly there, wasn't I?
Number four. Quite simply called Druid's Circle.
The Druid's Circle. They're all down south, these places, because they're all frightened of the Scots.
Yeah, most of them.
Yeah, because the Scots were the, what were they called? The heathens? I think they were called the heathens. That's what the Romans called them, I think. That's my little bit of knowledge.
Okay, well, thank you.
As I sort of try and think of places, I will go, because I know your dad loves this place, I'll go Torquay.
No, it's not Torquay. It is instead, I think he's done this on purpose, Penmenwawr in Wales. That's obviously not how you pronounce that.
Penmenwawr.
That's about that, yeah.
Penmenwawr. I didn't realise the Welsh had any circles.
Fucking love the Druids there, man.
Fucking love the Druids there.
Right, number five. This is a good one. It's good to say. Chinquoit.
Mm-hmm. Chinquoit. But how would you come about a chinquoit?
I thought it was an accessory to a man's outfit.
I thought it's the chafing that you get from overly doing the cunnilingus.
The chinquoit.
That's what you call it, isn't it? I will go... Ooh, Berkshire.
It's gone off. Where is it? It's in Cornwall again.
Not that, is it? You gave us the answer before. Are all these in Cornwall?
Most of them are Cornwall, yeah.
Right, I'll just say.
Well, this one's not. Castle Rigstone Circle. I'll give you a good. Well, back up north.
Well, that's where my mind was going, mm-hmm, with the mm-hmm. castle. I will go good old Rothbury.
It's in Keswick, but nice try.
Keswick's not north.
It's more north than Cornwall.
Yeah, it's more north than Cornwall, but I'm up proper north,
I know,
man.
I'm saying it's back up north.
Your clues are shit.
Okay, this one is... Boscawen un Penwith.
Is it in Penrith?
It's not Penrith, it's Penwith. Penwith.
Penwith. You didn't say Penwith.
It's Penwith.
You didn't say Penwith.
Penwith.
Let's think. I will say...
It might just be called Boscawen Un, and Penwith is where it is, but there's now Penwith in a place. So,
what? You've confused us even more with that.
So it might just I've got what I'm reading here.
Is it in Penrith?
No.
Isle of Man.
But there might be a place called Penwith, and if there is, it's there.
Is it where the filmed that children's TV show with the coloured houses?
Yeah, it's exactly there. Tobermory.
Valamory.
Valamory.
Yeah. Is it there?
It's also in Cornwall.
I should have gone for Cornwall, shouldn't I?
Just if you never know, it's like the Terry Venables of this quiz.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a good one. Roll Right Stones.
Ooh, Roll Right Stones. It's very literal, isn't it?
It's good. I think it sounds like a good band name.
It does, certainly does. I will say that the Roll Right Stones are in Lancashire.
They are in Longcompton, Oxfordshire.
Longcompton.
In Oxfordshire.
Is that where them rappers got their names from?
Yeah, I think that's where Ice Cube grew up.
Ice Cube, Ice Tea, all the ices did.
Number nine, the Hurlers.
Well, they sound a little bit like the Rollers, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Scots are famous for the hurling of the Khyber, aren't they? So I think I'll go for somewhere up there, Asia, maybe.
Brett, you'll be very surprised to learn that it's in Cornwall.
Has your dad visited all these mystical stones?
Well, no, that's number 10. Let's get number 10 out of the way.
Right, okay.
Medgel's Fold. Now, that sounds like Tolkien, doesn't it, that?
Yeah, they all do. I will say Lincoln.
Shropshire. So close.
It's not going well, this.
Well, that's the end
you
of it.
You didn't answer my question about, as a young boy, Cliff, were you taken around the sacred stones of England?
My dad says, like, you've been to some of them.
Uh-huh.
I've been to Wiltshire. We went to Wiltshire once when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been to Orkney. I've never been to Cornwall. I've been to Keswick, so maybe I've been to Castle Rigstone Circle.
So would you say that's that it. Your religion so is now Druid?
Potentially that I've been to two. Uh-huh. I'm not sure I've been to either of those.
So are you a Druid?
Oh, yes, I'm a Druid. I just haven't been to these stone circles.
Oh, well, I just want to know if you were a Druid, that's all. I mean, how's that going for you, being a Druid?
It's good. I mean, I love the mead. Big the witches. On that. The witches. Some pretty hot witches hanging around.
If there's ever a fire about, everyone's naked.
Of course, and dancing, the best kind.
Of course.
The best kind of name.
Yeah, like you're possessed. You jump through the fire to increase your fertility. Obviously,
no,
not
but
your,
I do,
your current turn, yeah.
I do have like a grass wreath around my head.
Do you? Right. Okay. Well, I just like to know these things. That's
I mean,
awesome.
I mean, it doesn't look like it from here, but I've got very long white hair.
It certainly doesn't look like it from you. It definitely doesn't.
Well, thank you, Dad, for that quiz.
Very good.
Impossible, but quite fun. And
but informative.
And definitely informative, yeah. I like it. I'd like to know more about all of those.
I would like to see Brian Clifford on a Channel 5 documentary way towards the stones.
Around, yeah. Not Stonehenge, like too obvious. Everybody goes
Yeah,
there.
Don't pick that one. It's too obvious. Don't pick the obvious ones.
10 stone circles, the 10 best stone circles of the UK.
That nobody's
Stonehenge.
Heard of. Thanks for that, though.
No, honestly, I thought that was great. And I do genuinely want to find out a little bit more about those places.
And I love all that shit, mate.
Which ones have I been to?
And did they have mystical powers? That's what I want to know.
Mm-hmm. Would you take that thing, the divining thing, the little
but
rods
for water and that
goes? But is it just water? I thought it was like mystical.
I thought it was for water.
Am I thinking about? I think I'm thinking about a metal detector.
Would I take that thing? Well, of course I would.
It tells you the stuff in the ground.
My wife has been asking for a metal detector for a long time.
Get on the beach with that.
She loves all that stuff. Exactly. Get on the beach, you know. I'm sure there's loads of buried artifacts with the increasing mystical powers if you find them next to the stones or the rings.
Of course,
whatever.
Yeah. Fantastic. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, thank you, Dad. That was good. Brett, you want to tell us about the music?
Yes. We've got music from Fatlantic this week with RPG. It's an instrumental version of RPG.
Yeah, is there a non-instrumental version?
I think there is, but I think that's owned by Sony, so the guy couldn't send with.
Okay, so even though it's his? All right, okay.
Yeah, well, you know, record companies and stuff.
The man's fucked this over again.
Yeah, exactly. So it's written by and produced by as well, Rob Overseer, who's also known as Overseer.
Yeah.
And it's from the album Offshore Bricks.
Yeah, it's really good. Enjoy it. See you later. See you next week where we'll be talking about probably not Yuri Geller, but something else. See ya. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.